Beis Tvila, Rosh Chodesh Av, Tavshinayin Hei. A few words on Tisha B'Av. The claim that we wanted to start with, and I really feel very strongly about this, is that Tisha B'Av is a day where really it's a day where in some ways a person can steig there more than the rest of the year. And I think it's a point that will come out very strongly, also what the focus of Tisha B'Av can be. Now, let's take a marshal. It's a very simple marshal on the surface, but we're going to take it and then slowly, slowly we'll try to get a little bit deeper and deeper into it. But once upon a time, there was a prince, as it always is in the Mashalim, right, the Ben Shel Melech, who decided he's going from, let's say he was going from England, right, and was going to India, as they were wont to do in those days. And as everyone knows, the way to do that is you have to go all the way around Africa. And before the settlers first came to South Africa, it was a big jungle over there, right? No civilization in anything. He's busy going around Africa, and there's a big storm, the ship is wrecked, no survivors, he's washed up on the shore. And here we have our prince, all by himself in the middle of nowhere, with no way of getting back to civilization, and there he is living with the, you know, on the beach with the animals and whatnot. So what does he do, right? He looks around for, you know, he's used to being treated like we say in Echa, you know, the chevra who's never put their feet on the ground. He's looking for the red carpet, you know, to know where to walk. There's no red carpet, and he's looking for the, you know, whatever he was used to, and it's not there. And he's hungry and he's thirsty, and it soon becomes apparent that if he doesn't put his face down on the floor like a wildebeest, right, and drink from a dirty puddle of muddy water over there with who knows what floating in it, so he's going to die. So he has to do what he has to do, and he does that. And there's no food, and slowly, slowly it becomes apparent that if he doesn't eat, so he's also going to die. And he does his best, and he does his best, and he manages to catch a rat. And a real rat is his first meal, right? And really, what do you want from this guy, right? I'm saying, well, what's he supposed to do? He tries to maintain his previous standards, so there's no way, right? He's not going to have anyone, you know, refining and straining his wine for him and serving it to him in crystal goblets. He's got to eat, he's got to drink from a puddle on the floor, right? And if he doesn't eat his raw rat, then he's going to starve to death, so he's got to do it. So he starts living like that. and slowly, slowly, so he learns what the constraints of his environment are. He gets into it. First day or two, he sleeps on the floor in the middle of nowhere. Then he manages to build himself a little thing out of branches or, you know, piece of who knows what, right? And he has this little place. He goes out every day and he forages for food. He eats something that, like we said, when it comes Shabbos, he's allowed to remove it when he's finished eating because of the Hetz of Graf Sharei, right? He drinks the water from the floor and, you know, also has a Hetz of Graf Sharei to get rid of it when he's finished. And that's how he lives. You know, there's no bathing, there's no showering, there's no haircuts, there's no nothing. There's no education, there's no reading. All there is hunting rats all day, catching rats. And soon he works out there's a musug of a good day and a bad day, right? A good day is the day where you catch a fat rat, and a bad day is the day when you don't catch a rat at all, right? And you have to eat yesterday's rat, right? It wasn't in the fridge, or the day before's. And there's a musug of a good day and a bad day. There's what's called steiging, there's what's called, yeah? Remember something about, you know, being a person when he finds an apple once or a piece of fruit once, and that's considered a really good day. And he has his misogim, right? He has plans, you know, as the years go on. So he has plans of, you know, extending, making a window in his little thing. He's got bars to keep the animals out. And slowly, slowly, he has his misogim. He's getting better at catching. Instead of catching the rats with his hands and eating them raw, he's catching them with a trap, and he's making a fire now. And like we said, he has good days and bad days. The good days are when it doesn't rain and he can make a fire, or when he has wood and he has what he needs and he can make a fire. Bad days when he's eating things raw. he learns this new misogym, what's good, what's bad, new goals in life, and he lives there, and the years go on, right? 1 year turns into two, turns into five, turns into ten, and our prince has got a good way of accepting life, and he's happy, right? He has his good days, he has his bad days, but he figures, listen, wherever you are in the world, you have your good days, your bad days, you just got to get used to things the way they are, and he's happy, right? And the years go on and the years go on, and so one day after 10, after 15 years, right, a boat arrives, right? Either they were looking for him or they're having a halfway stop to get fresh water, who knows what. A boat arrives and he sees the boat, right? And now you can tell the story in a few different ways. Either he sees the boat, and he doesn't remember what this funny thing is. He sees these things coming off, he doesn't remember what they are. They're not like any monkeys that he knows, right? So he runs away. They don't see him, he doesn't see them. The boat goes, and he stays where he was. Story number one. Story number two is that he sees them, he remembers them. And he says, you know what, I remember, 1 second, I'm a king, I could go back home. Yeah, it's a British boat, whatever the story is. He says, you know what, but he says, why bother? You know what? I'm saying, also a king, you know, you have good days, you have bad days. You have days with pressure, and you have successes, you have failures. This is over here also, I have successes, I have failures. Yeah, I eat, sometimes I go hungry, sometimes I eat. A king is also, sometimes I eat, sometimes I go hungry. Right? And, well, the ups, the downs, life is life. I'm over here, why should I go back there? Right? So he stays put. Right? This one's a bit harder to imagine than the other one. But definitely the first one, he doesn't remember who's who, what's what, he just runs away from them, you can hear. But then we'll ask, right, so what do you want our prince to do? Okay, like we said, he arrived there, you want him to try and stay a prince as much as he can, right? But he arrives there, he's going to starve to death. If he doesn't put his face on the floor and drink dirty water from a puddle on the ground, he's going to die. If he doesn't eat his rat every day, he's going to die. So what's he supposed to do? Right? He knows the boat isn't coming tomorrow. It's not coming the next day. Halavai, it will come within the next 10 years, maybe in the next 15 years, whatever. But he'd like, when the boat comes, that he remembers enough to get on that boat. So what should he do? You want him not to eat rat, he'll die. You want him not to drink, you want him not to live like that. He doesn't have the choice. So what's he supposed to do? So the stories of the other prince, who gets there, and same story happens, right? A few kilometers away, they didn't know what was happening, right? But there's another prince, the same thing happens, and he's eating his rat, he's living on, right, drinking from the floor, all of that's going on, and he suddenly realizes, 1 second, if I let this happen, I'm going to turn into an animal. And one day they're going to come to pick me up, and I'm not going to know who's who, I'm not going to want to go. But what can I do? So he says, you know what? He says, I have to live like this. I don't have a choice. And I can't be depressed every day about living like this because depression's not healthy. You can't live in a depression. So you've got to live like this and you've got to be happy living like this. He says, one day a year, I'm going to come home, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to look at this thing, this home, and I'm going to say, Ichs, I don't sit there. I don't walk into a place like that. I'm a prince. I don't lie on the floor. He says, I'm going to look at the rat for supper, and I'm going to say, disgusting, that's fit for a prince. And I look at the dirty water and I say, yes, I'm not going to drink that. Right? And one day a year, I'm going to remember who I am and I'm just going to throw all of this out and say, disgusting, 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 this is not fit for me. Right? And now, can he keep to those standards? No. Can he live on that standard? No. He has to live in the world where he is. But one day a year, he can remember what he was, and in that way he holds on to it. Right? He keeps a memory. And the guy who does that one day a year, this is the second prince, one day a year, he's doing this and doing this and doing this. After 10 years, after 15 years, comes the boat, and he remembers, right? And he's just stood up from saying, Ichs, I hate this. Ichs, you can't sleep like this, you can't eat like this. This is not fit for the prince. He sees the boat, he runs, he gets onto the boat, he goes back, and, right, as always, lives happily ever after. The pasuk says, "Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu bo kol ma'aveh sisu ito masoyes kol nisad l'malea." That the pasuk says that we learn from here that kol ha'misabel al Yerushalayim zoyche v'roy b'binyone. Right? Anyone who's misabel on Yerushalayim gets to see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. But according to the tense in the pasuk is wrong. to Simchu in Yerushalayim, right? L'chor, it should say, Yosisu itom nosois, right? Kol hamisab lemaleo, all who, those who cry today for it will one day be happy when Hashem rebuilds Yerushalayim. Right? That's l'chor, the... But it doesn't say that. It says, Sisu itom nosois, be happy now with Yerushalayim, all you people who misabel in Yerushalayim. And how can you be happy now with Yerushalayim? So the vote is that someone who's misabel in Yerushalayim, so he's like our prince who still sits on the floor, right, one day a year, says, Ix, I'm not eating the rat, Ix, I'm not drinking the water on the floor, right, because I'm not fit for that. Such a person, even though he's in the middle of Africa, living like an animal and everything, but he's still the prince, right? He still remembers who he is, and he's still Shomer in that Surah Adam. And the maid, when the boat comes one day, so he'll leave where he is, and he'll get on the boat because he still wants to be something better, right? And he's still got a shaychus, he's still got a connection to being a prince. Calls man that he says that the way I'm living is not good enough, and it's not enough for me. That means that he's still holding on to the idea that he's a prince. You can go to him and you can say you can be happy with your status as the ben melech, right? Calls man that you know it's not good enough over here. But the day comes that you're happy over here and you don't know what's wrong with it, right? When one day a year comes and you look at the rats and you say, it's a delicious rat, like, why did I ever do this? Like, why not eat it? Then you know that you've lost it, right? Then you know you're not a prince anymore and you don't know what you're missing. And when they come to, you know, pick you up, you're not going to go at all because you're very happy over here, right? So then you're really in trouble, right? Mashenk and someone is still crying for it, is still once a year says, not good enough. So we made it such a person. It's a shaykhus to Yerushalayim, and Netz Hashem, when the Gula comes, he'll know that he's missing, and he'll go, you know, he'll go get on the boat. That comes step one. Like I said, Tachana Rishona. There's a mission at the end of Titus. I want to just mention it's a similar idea, go deeper and deeper. The mission at the end of Titus lists five things that happened on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Okay, I'm going to be very makatsa now. We'll try to pack everything into 15 minutes. So I'm going to be very makatsa. What happened on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz? Five things. Mishtabra Lukos, right? The Lukos were broken. The Tomid was part Mispatil. The walls of the city were broken, a Torah was burnt, and a Tzelem was put in a Heichal. On Tisha B'Av also five things happened. The Korban Bayis Rishon and Sheni, Beitar was destroyed, the city was, the Harabayis was plowed, and, missed one, and Nigzar Avetzena Shulei Yikonis La'aretz, right? And the B'nai Yisrael were told, and the Midbar were told they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, something very obvious over here, right? Is that there's first of all, there's a process. Five, can I get five? You can see that there's a process. Okay? No, well, not a process, but you can see that there's a ze, can I get ze? But not only that, he says there's a process. The first five are the Geter Bitzul Torah. Okay? Mishtabra Lukas is not hard. Burning the Torah is not hard. Butzal HaTamid. Oilas Tomid Asuya Barasina. Right? The Kitsu Nimrat, the Mile of Tomid, Tomid is something that joins one thing to another because it's unbroken. Right? And Oila, the Tomid is a connection to Asina. It's called Oilas Tomid Ho Asuya Barasina. We do the same Tomid that was done by Asina and there's never been a break in between. Over here, that connection was cut. Kimitsion Tetsu Torah, the walls of Zion were broken. Right? Tzelem in the Heichal is also the same Indian quality, etc. The source of the Torah was contaminated. And what happened on Tisha B'Av then is what he calls Bitul Malchus. Something that was built was broken down. Okay? By Rishon, by Sheni, we had a big building that was built, something that was achieved, and what was achieved, where they came and they broke down something that had been built. Beitar being destroyed. When Israel in the desert with the Nixon and them not to go into Eretz Israel, the Exim, when Israel, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they had Pesach, right? They had, if you want the real Pesach, right? That they left Mitzrayim. That was their Pesach. they had shvuas of getting the Torah. And what they're supposed to have, they should have gone into Eretz Yisrael and built a house with Hashem. That would have been the real sukkahs. The Pesach they had, the shvuas they had, and the sukkahs was never achieved. But that's in the building they had to build together with Hashem, that was taken away from them. Beitzim breaking down the base of Mikdash. That's what they missed out on over there. And the last one, was Rishon Sheni, Beito, and that, and the city being plowed. And here's a phenomenal idea. This is from Ramesha Shapiro. So just a phenomenal understanding. Well, what's the big deal, right? Come into Yerushalayim, they've broken, they've destroyed the whole Yerushalayim, burnt down the basement. What's the big deal if they plowed the Harabais or not? What did it add for them? Yeah, so they plowed the Harabais. I mean, it's burnt, it's broken, there's no Jews there, everyone's been killed. What? So they plowed the Harabais. What's the big deal? Complete destruction. Okay. It's something a little deeper. There's a Gemara in Psochim talks about our relationship to the Harabayis. The Gemara says, Loika Avram Shekore Har, Veloika Yitzchak Shekore Sade, Eleka Yaakov Shekore Bayis. Right? Avram Avinu went to the Harabayis and he called it Har. Yitzchak went there and he called it Sade. And Yaakov went there and he called it Bayis. And we say that there's different levels of building that the Harabayis went through. A Har is Be'etzim not built up at all. It's just something very high. It's something very elevated. Right? A site is already something that's cultivated, but no more than that. A bias is already a next stage. So there's different levels, whatever Har, Asad and bias, whatever levels of growth that Harabais went through, Avram Avinu invested into Harabais, whatever it was, it came to the level of Har. Yitzhak Avinu invested, it came to the level of Sade. And Yaakov went and built it to the level of bias. Said, when the Romans went and they found Harabayis, says their kavana was to undo, to take away what Yaakov put into Harabayis. They're bringing it down from the level of Bayis to the level of Sodom. Right? It was remaking it back into Sodom. It's something that's misogyny that we don't understand, but they understood what they were doing, is that they were taking out and destroying what Yaakov had invested into Harabayis to change it from Sodom to Bayis. They were now changing it from a bayis back to a sodom. But I'll call upon him five points of bitul Torah and 5 points of bitul malchus of breaking down what was built. And it's a mahalach. Bitul Torah leads you to bitul malchus. And as we said, really, saying we pretty much said out the other way around, is that what mahalach does Hashem want from us? So the real mahalach is the other way around. All right, we came out of Mitzrayim and we got the Torah. That's one step. We left Mitzrayim, and that's connected straight away to Kabbalah Satorah. We got the Torah. We were supposed to take that Torah and go into Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash. The Kabbalah Satorah is supposed to lead us to Binyan Abayis. And over here, instead, what we have, and Be'etzim, that's the Mahalach of Pesach Shavuos, it's Kabbalah Satorah, leaving the Avodah Zarah and the Kabbalah Satorah. And Sukkos is building a house with Hashem. And that's the Jewish year, Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. On the other hand, over here we have the Mahalach of leaving the Torah, and it lands up in breaking down the bayis. Right? 5 points of bitul Torah, 5 points of chur bayis. So I remember years and years ago, maybe 12, 13 years ago. This I heard from Ramesh when I was a Bacha, these two Nakudas. I said it out to a Briska, actually. And he said to me, he said, okay. So he said, so then, according to you, he said, so why do we keep this time? What you're telling me is we have one my record of time, which Hashem gave us, of Pesach, Shavuos, leads us to Sukkos. Very nice, right? You makabel the Torah and you build your house. So we understand that we keep Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos, and in some way we're mekabel the Torah every year and we manage to build something every year. Right? That's what we know from the Ramchal, that what you do, we don't just do some things. The same thing that they were doing, we do. So, but why should we keep a process? What are we trying to bring down into this world by reliving a process of bitul Torah that results in burning things down? He said, I'd rather, let's not keep it. You know, the Mashgiach tells us if you shlof the whole Shavuos, so what kind of Kabbalah Satorah do you have, right? So Adrabah, so let's eat the whole Tisha B'Av, right? And let's not be zoche to a Churban HaBayis. Well, what are we keeping over here? Okay? That was his question. So the answer is obvious, but let's say it out in a certain way. There's a Ramchal which says that, again, I'm going to quote Sir Azman, I'm going to say things that are not 100% accurate, but just let Tzurich HaKheshbon say it out in a certain way. There's a Ramchal which says that the world was created for Kvod Shamayim, right? The world was created to bring the Kvod Shamayim. He talks about Gilu Yichud Hashem, right? We have to show that Hashem is the only thing in the world. Okay? So I'm going to talk in terms of Gilu Yichud Hashem, showing that there's nothing but Hashem. Eino Ed Mavado. Okay? He said that everyone is going to prove that. Right? There's different ways to prove it. And he says there's three different ways of proving it. Right? A tzaddik proves it in a certain way, that Hashem says, and again, I'm going to be a bit ridiculous with examples, but just I'm trying to pack a lot into a little bit of time. Let's say Hashem comes. Sorry, I said, this is Be'erech the Ramchal, but I'm taking a lot of Ramchal and I'm saying over bits and pieces of my word. Let's say Hashem comes to us and says, you're supposed to live in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Don't go live in Eilat. Right? Paris, wherever you want to, right? Don't want to insult anyone who's French or whatever, right? Don't go live in their life. You're supposed to live in Ramat Beit Shemesh or in Yerushalayim, whatever. Your Ramat Beit Shemesh is good enough, right? So there's different ways. We want to show Enoch Mufado. How do we do it? So one person has the option, listen, he's getting married, he's got a house, he can buy a house in their life, he can buy a house over here in Ramat Beit Shemesh. So he goes and buys a house from Ramat Beit Shemesh. By making that choice, he shows Enoch Mufado. He understands that Hashem's word is the only real thing. And he shows through his action, through his choice, he shows Eino Ed Mavado. Let's say someone isn't so good, right? He buys the house in Eilat. He goes there, and he sees over time that it was a really bad choice. He says, everything goes wrong. It's terrible. It's horrible there. And he realizes why Hashem told him, live in Beit Shemesh and don't live over there, right? It's no good over there. So he leaves Eilat and he comes back, right? Says the Ramchal, he also showed Yichud Hashem. In a way, he showed it much better than the Tzaddik. Right? He said, because when we're talking about Eino Ed Mavado, Hashem says, the only place to live is Beit Shemesh. Right? Don't go live in a lot. So the Tzaddik says, yeah, I believe that. The Baal Tshuva can say, I was there. I went there and I saw, and I'll tell you guys, it's rotten over there. So he was Mavarer, the Eino Ed Mavado. He showed the Eino Ed Mavado in a much more yisodi way. Right? And says the Ramchal, that's why the Makom Shabalei Tshuva Oimdim and Tzadikim Gemurim Yokodim Lamed. The Tzadik Gomer stayed here. He was Mavarer Eino Ed Mavado. It was a bit of a theoretical burial. Right? Hashem came, the Baal Tshuva went there, he lived it, and he left it. He knows much more how bad it is over there. There's a third way of being Mavarer. The third way is, person goes there, lives there, and never leaves. Right? And after 120, he gets to Shemayim, and he lands up in Gehenna. Right? Or maybe even in this world, right? He gets sucked in, and right, Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur goes, he didn't do tshuva, and Hashem says, Tzaras on the person. And there he is, he's suffering, and everything goes wrong, and right? Whatever happens to him. And he's there, he's suffering, or he's in Gehenna, and he's busy screaming in Gehenna. They say, look, he did neged Hashem, and this is what happened to him. Lokadai. Right? So he's also Mavaro, by falling short, and by being punished, and by suffering. So he's Mavaro Enoid Mavado. Says the Ramchal, everyone's going to be Mavaro Enoid Mavado. Right? We're all going to prove the same thing in this world. So that's one Mahalach Hashem put in the world, that everyone's going to show Enoid Mavado. The question is, how are you going to prove it? Right, we're all in the same play. The question is, which part do you want to be? You want to be a tzaddik? So you show Eino Ed Mavado by making the choice of the chadchila, getting rewarded, and so we see, oh, this is good, that's better than the other option. If you want to be a Baal Tshuva, go there and experience it and come back and say Lokadai, that's also a way. Right? And the third way is to be a Rasha and to burn, and while the Rasha burns, so then he's also showing Eino Ed Mavado. Three ways, and from all of them comes out a Kiddush Hashem at the end of the day.
Sorry,
Let's say it happens in this world, or let's say it doesn't happen in this world, but for Meshach HaZman it will happen. It doesn't have to happen in this world. But by the end of the day, we're all going to prove the same thing. And right? And really what he's saying is that Hashem had a certain kibun in the Bria of from here is going to come out for a Shalom. That doesn't depend on us. We have our Bechira, but our Bechira is not going to change what Hashem wants in this world. And what Hashem wants is that Kvod Shamayim. That Kvod Shamayim is going to happen anyway. The question is, where are we going to prove it? And it's, again, recommended to prove it in the first way. Right? It's less painful than that, but there are those who are going to prove it the second or the third way. Okay. There are three sets of 21 days through the years. Through the year. One of them is Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. You have to add in Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, maybe Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All of it comes together to 21 days. These are the days that we were given by Hashem. And there's a process over there. The process is leaving behind Mitzrayim, being Makabel Torah. From Kabbalah so Torah, we come to Shavuos of Binyan Abayis. Those are the 21 days Hashem gave us. There's another set of 21 days that starts at Rosh Hashanah, right, and lands up on Shmini Atzeres. It's also 21 days. Those are the 21 days of the Baal Tshuva. Right, that what a person messed up through the year, he can now fix. And that's also a derech of Kiddush Hashem, is to do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and to say all those things that I was in and I was experiencing, they're not good, they're bad, they're, I was there, I did it, and I know it's bad. That's the Kiddush Hashem of the Baal Tshuva. And the Tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva both land up in the same place on Sukkot. And that's really the beer of the Gemara at the end of Sukkot, where it says that the Tzaddikim and the Baal Tshuva were both Sameach in Simchas Beis Hasha'eva, and so the Tzaddikim said, we're happy with our youth, that didn't embarrass us, and the Baal Tshuva had a different mahalach. But the Tzaddikim and the Baal Tshuva both meet at Sukkot, because both of them have their own cheshbon of 21 days, which brings them to the same spot. Then there's also the 21 days of the Rasha. What's the 21 days of the Rasha? Right? So he has his Bitul Torah on Shivas of Tammuz, which leads him to his Bitul Malchus on Tisha B'Av, and there's no out. He suffers. Right? Bitul Torah leads to Bitul Malchus, and that's it. Tisha B'Av, we sit on the floor and we cry, and there's no happy ending to the story. Right? And that's the Kiddush Hashem of the Rasha. But the answer to the question, right, of the Brisker, so let's not keep it. Why do we need to keep the third way, right? Are we not supposed to try Birushalayim in there? The answer is that the three ways in which we Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, right? And Nebuch, we're not perfect, right? There's a big part of the Torah that we relate to, or maybe, whatever, there's a part of the Torah that we relate to in the way of Tzaddikim, right? Let's say Kriyas Shema, Shachris, and Arvis, I hope, right? We're commanded to do it, and we do it. Baruch Hashem. So we command it, we do it, and we get schar. So we relate to that part of the Torah as Tzaddikim. Okay? There's a big part of the Torah which we try to do, and we keep messing up on. And we come to Rosh Hashanah, and we say sorry. And we relate to that part of the Torah as Baalei Tshuva, that we make our mistakes, and we try and hold back from it. And then we can say, we were there, and we did it, and it wasn't so good. Right? It was actually very bad. And in that way, we Mekadesh Shem Shamayim as Baalei Tshuva. And there's parts of the Torah which we've got no shaykhus to keeping. Right? All of Kodshim and Tyrus and so much of what a Jew is supposed to be. If you see that the Tiur of what a Jew is supposed to be in the Svarim, the Bichlal not shaykh to any of it today. There's so much of the Torah wants from us and what the Torah has in it, which is Bichlal, it's not in our hands at all. It's the only way that we relate to that part of the Torah. It says, why? Because we don't have the bias, we don't have the kirvas Hashem, we don't have the Torah, we don't have the Tyra, we don't have the Korbanos, and Kokama that we don't have it, and that part of the Torah is bottle, so we're going to suffer. Right? But that lack of Torah, which brings us to suffering, is also Kiddush Hashem. Right? And that's why, again, to answer the question on the brisket, that's why we keep these days, right? Because, again, the fact that they exist for us is a reality. It's not our choice anymore. But it's a reality that with certain things we're lacking in our kesher to the Torah, and as much as we're lacking them, so we suffer, right? And what we need to do is come and bring that whole process back to Hashem and say that the same as Kabbalah Sotar and doing mitzvahs brings us good things, and leaving the Averas and coming back and Baal Tshuva brings us good things, so to Hashem, in as much as we leave your Torah and we suffer, that also shows Einoid Mavada. And that be'etzim is the point of Tisha B'Av. We say in the Kinnis, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim, B'tzeisim Mitzrayim, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim, we're saying if we leave the bad and we medavik in the good, look at all the good we have. But if we leave Hashem, right, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim, if we leave Hashem, so look how we suffer, that's also a Kiddush Hashem. Right? And the Kiddush Hashem that comes from suffering of Roshayim, that's the Maharach of these 3 weeks. Okay? There's even a point of lechatchila. Again, we don't lechatchila try to be Roshayim, but there's a point of lechatchila coming to Hashem and saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm on your side. I'm working for you, right? Maybe I'm in the play. Right? And in the play, there's going to be different guys on the screen, right? On the stage. One guy is going to be the tzaddik who shows how Kiddush Hashem brings good. Another guy will be the Baal Tshuva. Another guy will be the Rasha, but they're all showing the same point in the play. And what we're saying is, they all get paid by the guy who's putting on the play because they're all doing a necessary job of it. They're all showing the thing. There's a Musa of coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, here, I'm on the team. I'm serving you with whatever it takes. As much as I can be a tzaddik, I'll be a tzaddik, I'll serve you like that. As much as I can be a Baal Tshuva, I'll be a Baal Tshuva, I'll serve you like that. And as much as Nebuch, I'm going to end up being a Rasha, and everyone has it built into the Metzius today on a certain level, because we don't have the base of Metzius, we don't have Tyro or Korbanos or anything. And as much as we're lacking, and all of us Jews suffer because of it, so here we are, we're ready to be Mekadesh your name like that also. Right? And that's the avoda of Tisha B'Av, is to come to Hashem and to makabel this process on ourselves and to bring this to be a part of the Avodas Hashem. And the etzim, why did I claim that there's a certain level of steiging that a person doesn't on Tisha B'Av more than the rest of the year? The rest of the year we don't live with a yachas to what we don't have. Going back to our marshal of the prince, right? If he walks around the whole day dreaming of back in England, so he can't live. He has to live in Africa where he is, right? You've got to get used to where you are, and you have to live where you are, right? So it's not, we're not mityaches to everything we're lacking in the Torah, because if we walked around the whole day saying, oi, we're lacking, oi, we're lacking this, no, Hashem wants us to build and grow with what we have, right? But we need a yachas to what we don't have, and this is the yachas to everything that we don't have. How much is what we have compared to what we don't have? Right? Go back to the mashal of the prince there. He has his successes. He builds himself a little thing. He adds bars. He adds a door. You don't know what he does. Right? But as much as he's going to get, as much as he's going to build it, is very, very limited compared to what he'll get when he goes back to his kingdom. And that's where we are. We grow and we build and we stag and as much as we can, we add and we add and we add. But all of it is not a millionth of what we could really get to one day. Right? And the yachas to everything we're lacking, that's all on Tisha B'Av. Right? The connection to it, like we spoke in the beginning on the Gabe, the just the connection, remembering it, that was the first level. But more than that, it's the yachas to all the chalakim of the Torah that we don't have anymore, and our way, we actually have a way of relating to it. The way we relate to it now is to say to Hashem, in as much as we don't have it and we're lacking, so we're suffering, to plug into all of that. That's the avoda of the day of Tisha B'Av. And the etzim, to finish with this, is that it always bothers me that the tochniot that we have over Tisha B'Av, right? I have nothing against not talking Lashon Hara, I have nothing against Avas Chinam and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, all good things, right? But the etzim, what are we doing? We're sitting down in the day when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and we're saying, okay, so we're going to rebuild, right? If we could rebuild, we wouldn't have to have a Tisha B'Av. If we could rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Rosh Hashanah. What we can fix, we deal with on Rosh Hashanah. We have 3 things. What we can do right, lechatchila, is Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. What we can fix when we've messed it up is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. What we can't fix, and it's broken, and we're suffering because of it, that's Shivah Asar B'Tammuz Tisha B'Av. The day of Tisha B'Av is not the etzem a day to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And someone who spends the day of Tisha B'Av trying to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is very nice. I have nothing against the Beis HaMikdash, right? But you've missed the point of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day to deal with what you can't rebuild. And inasmuch as we're living in a world that we can't rebuild anymore and we don't have it, how do we relate to that and how do we plug that into our Avodas Hashem and what yachas do we have to what we can't fix? That's Tisha B'Av, right? So mamish, the whole idea of, you know, let's rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is very nice, but then you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. You build the Lechat Chila on Pesach, you rebuild it on Rosh Hashanah. Tisha B'Av you say, and as much as I can't, and we can't do it, you know what I'm saying, I decide that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come, and this, it could be it's not in my Yecholus to do it by myself, right? I don't want to stop anyone from doing Tshuva, but one person to bring the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know if you can. In as much as you can't, you still have to plug that into Avodas Hashem and relate to all of the Torah that we don't have. That's the Avoda of Tisha B'Av, really. Good. That can.